Thank you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us.
Welcome, everyone, to the Epiphany Radio Show. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're also broadcasting in the Grand Rapids area and the Battle Creek area and all throughout southwestern Michigan. And we encourage you to visit our website at holyfamilyradio.net. We are a locally supported radio station, so we would appreciate anything you could do for us. Today, we have some special guests with us, both Dr. Robin Perucci and Dr. Don Bouchard. Welcome to both of you. It's good to have you here, and we're going to be talking about medical ethics. We're going to be talking about the foundation of maybe even returning back to our roots a little bit of really including God, including Jesus, including the Catholic Church in our health care, also in regards to ethics. And Dr. Robin Perucci and I'm sure Dr. Don Bouchard would come and speak with you too. They also do speaking engagements, and they've got a few other things too that I want to keep you interested and keep you tuned in so that you listen in on some other really cool things that they have coming on and going on in the future. So we're going to start first with Dr. Robin Perucci. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself and, what led you up to this point today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
It has been a journey that I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined. But, it is a journey that is my privilege to truly walk. My nice Jewish roots, my amazing family, also would never have foreseen that this is where I would end up. I went back to undergrad at Loyola University in Chicago. I didn't know what a Jesuit was.
Okay.
I don't know if I would have gone, but they got their application back to me first. I was in the midst of leaving a professional dance company that I had toured with for a number of years and said, okay, enough. I knew at that point, at least I was going to try to go into medicine. But one of the things at Loyola is you have to do, there's a core curriculum where you have to take a certain number of theology classes and number of hours. Said, all right, intro to Christian thinking, not so much. But Old Testament, okay, that's mine.
Right.
It didn't occur to me to look to see who the teacher was. Father Mitch Pacwa of EWTN fame now was standing outside the door in full clerics on that morning, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday class. I looked at him, my jaw dropped in horror of what do you mean there's a priest standing there? And you remember your college days, that the gang of kids is streaming into class. There was no way out at that point. So from the time it took me to get from the doorway of abject terror to my desk, I was then irritated beyond belief. So I think I must have kind of rumped, sat down in my seat, arms crossed, and went, all right, bring it on. Let's see, priest, what you're going to say to me. I couldn't wait for him to slaughter the first Hebrew name. Blah,
right. Okay.
Father Mitch at that point had just gotten back from Israel. He had just completed his PhD in Old Testament. Speaks better Hebrew than I ever will in my entire life.
Along with about five other languages, too.
Actually, it's about 11 or 12 at last count, including ancient Aramaic, Greek.
Right.
I mean, we argued for the next 3 years, basically, is what happened. With various Bibles and various languages out in front of us going, where did that come from? So it took me 3 long years of arguing with him. By the way, I still argue with him to this day frequently.
Okay.
Before I said, yes, Lord, this is the correct pathway for me. And I was baptized by him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So he was part of your, he's a definite piece of your conversion story.
Absolutely. without any hesitation.
Wow.
Our Lord has an interesting sense of humor and knows exactly who to put in our paths.
Wow, that's great.
And so from there, I would like to say, oh, yes, I was a good Catholic child. Sort of. It has still remained my backbone. Though
sure.
Through all sorts of meanderings.
Absolutely.
I did complete med school, pediatric residency, and then a neonatal fellowship, all of which, along the way, it was always with this sense of, what else can I be doing? In the hallowed halls of medicine, you learn how to hide pretty quickly your faith.
Right.
At least in theory.
Or anything that will ruffle the feathers of anybody.
Correct.
Yeah.
I had already ruffled the feathers of my family. I tried not to ruffle daily the feathers of everyone I work with. And what's happened, honestly, is the nurses bring to me, especially, I'm in an NICU, patients who are in trouble. And I don't care what faith or whether anyone actually even believes in God.
Sure.
It is about how do you show up at the bedside.
Amen.
What do I have the privilege of bringing to them, not what do they bring to me.
Amen.
So it has truly been with that heart that it is my privilege to care for anyone and everyone who comes in the door.
Awesome.
And one of my other friends, Dr. Tom Flynn, and I began talking one day as we realized each other had an actual active faith. And we said, gosh, we wish we had a group of Catholic physicians that we could talk to because, so you don't feel like the lone wolf out there.
Like a support type group.
Very much, but we were hoping also even to have catechesis and other things.
Sure.
And it was at one of these meetings that I actually met Dr. Don Bouchard.
Who is with us also.
Yes.
Awesome. So what I'm going to do is we'll kind of make a little segue here and thank you very much. It's an amazing story. I love the Mitch Paquo part of it. It's just great. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, he continues to get me into trouble. There's all kinds of videos I've now made with him and gotten me onto EWTN, which just still scares the silliness out of me.
That's good. Congratulations. That's great. So, Dr. Don Bouchard, it's good to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And
thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and, similar to Robin's thing. I don't know if you have you had an encounter with Father Mitch Paqua?
Only through EWTN.
Only through EWTN. Probably
and vicariously through Robin. So
there you go. So,
well.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I grew up in Maine, cradle Catholic, large Catholic Canadian family, or French Canadian family.
Very good.
And grew up very poor and was blessed with the opportunity to go to college and discovered that, hey, this was really kind of nice. And I did well in that environment and was equally blessed to be able to attend medical school.
Mm.
And Robin's right. When you're in medical school and residency, you tend to hide your faith. And for me, it was, we attend church every Sunday, but in the actual presence of our patients and our workforce, it's real easy to get into the mentality that's in healthcare, and that's more of a volume mentality and seeing a lot of patients and not necessarily spending a lot of time or a lot of quality time. And for me, it was just the feeling of that emptiness over a number of years that really brought me to this.
Like building cars.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Doing the numbers, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So when you start realizing that there's certainly a lot missing in those encounters, and it's not just a matter of trying to extend the healing ministry of Jesus through our actions, but it's also seeing in the other, seeing in those suffering, the presence of the suffering Christ.
You bet.
That just adds a different level of relationship, a covenant relationship that I think oftentimes is missing today in healthcare.
Okay, very good. So with that in mind, with your backgrounds, and thank you very much for sharing these, the personal details of your lives. Now, do you both have families? Robin, do you have a family?
Oh, yes, I have three amazing children.
Okay.
Happily married.
Wonderful. And
I have two wonderful children, a boy and a girl, and very happily married.
Very good. So that helps people to connect. You know, sometimes people think that, you know, whether they have a family or not, that helps people to connect. So what is the first thing you'd like to talk about today in regards to, you know, the state of healthcare, what your idea is? Now, there's also a website that you can visit, too, which is holyfamilyhealthcare.org. So feel free to go on there while you're listening or later on. And you guys are accepting patients, I would imagine, new patients?
Yes, we are actually working at this point out of a mobile medical clinic that we've had for the summer, and going to some of the migrant head starts and going to some of the migrant camps in the Southwest Michigan area. We are working actually with Father Leo in Hartford to develop a practice on-site there at the church, which will be wonderful. That is likely going to be first part of October, first or second week of October.
Excellent.
Which will be up and ready, ready to go.
That will be this year. So probably about the time that this program is broadcast, they will, maybe that'll be up and running. And of course, they can always contact you, and you'll have that updated on your website. And of course, this is a growing practice. This holyfamilyhealthcare.org is a growing practice with foundational beliefs in the Catholic faith, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And that's a big part of what this is about. That's a big part of why we're talking to Dr. Robin today and Dr. Don, if you don't mind me calling you by those names, so I don't mess up your last names too badly. So, Robin, can you tell us one of the first things you'd like to talk about today that you think people would be interested in hearing about?
Well, in addition to the practice of medicine, My background not only is in pediatrics, but also in medical ethics.
Okay.
And I've had the amazing opportunities to speak at a number of parishes already, and programs both here in our state and kind of throughout the country now, on all sorts of issues, whether it's the sanctity of life or what is the age of viability. Just about anything under the sun, if your parish has a specific idea for, they're doing a weekend retreat and they're trying to glue ideas together, and this is an idea they want something, a conference about, you know, we're available to be contacted, and I'm happy to kind of, as long as I can fit it into my schedule, you have to give me a little warning. We're available to try and come out to your parish. If we can, double it up with the medical van being there, we can always try and do that also. But being available to our diocese is really high on our priority list. The same sort of opening I make available to people in places where they're treating or hearing other, not patients necessarily, but parishioners.
Okay.
Like kind of being available for a consult.
All right.
I've had some priests call me and say, "Hey, I've run into this issue. What is this correct? Is this church doctrine? Where are we?" Whether it's a life issue with a difficult pregnancy.
Okay.
Or discussions about withdrawal or withholding further support of a loved one who might be entering a phase of life where medicine can't fix this.
Okay.
How much do we have to do? What's the balance of what we can
do? So you can be a real help on medical ethics and just a lot of different...
That's the prayer.
Lot of different areas, especially things that where it comes in contact with our faith, what's the next step that I can make? And people can email you or give you a phone call.
Yes. Through the website, it is going to be attached to my email.
Okay.
So I should be within 24 hours of something hitting the website, I should be able to get to it.
Okay.
We did it that way because I do still work full time in an NICU.
Absolutely.
So my hands might be full of baby that morning.
Yeah, I understand.
But I will certainly get to that as quickly as possible.
Awesome.
To be able to.
So this is a real ministry for you guys.
This
is. I mean, may work into a full time job at some point. But it is it's a ministry that you have. It's something that, you know, the way healthcare is going, it probably will be full time, and who knows how long. You know, things are changing so fast, and in a lot of ways, it seems like, you know, the government doesn't even know, you know, what they're doing either. You know, and you know, God bless the local hospitals. You know, include, you know, the Catholic hospitals and the non-Catholic hospitals. But I think they are. They have just as much confusion as anybody
right.
on where things are going.
Right.
And, you know, the politicians, you know, one person says one thing one day and then, you know, 2 weeks later they change their mind and do a total 180 on it. So, Don, can you tell us about a few things that you think, you know, your healthcare, Holy Family Healthcare can help people with?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the impetus behind what we're doing comes from that lack of knowledge from the government and from healthcare
right.
in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we felt as Catholic physicians that it was really incumbent on us to try to get healthcare back to its to the foundational roots, the roots that were started by the very brave and bold nuns of the last century for sure.
You bet.
And having community-based healthcare that doesn't just take care of the medical needs, but really looks at the spiritual, the emotional needs, trying to build the domestic church, trying to practice in a way and educate in a way that will promote virtue over passion, that will promote wisdom over knowledge and compassion over intimacy.
You bet.
And just really trying to lay that foundation. In my private practice, what I found is it's difficult sometimes to know where best to start this education. And so what we're trying to develop, working to develop, is a way for parents to educate their children while they become educated as well. When I learned about it, was the best-kept secret in the Catholic faith, and that is Catholic social teaching.
Well, yeah, that's right.
You get a little bit here and there through sermons, et cetera, but until you really sit down and look at Catholic social teaching and the wisdom, the depth of wisdom that's there, and really trying to incorporate that into really every encounter, every sacred encounter that we have with a patient,
correct.
Every opportunity to try to build a strong family, to really reinforce sacrament, to really reinforce living your faith. And the beauty of Catholic social teaching is that if it didn't say Catholic on the front, it's still the right thing to do.
Absolutely. And so I think part of this, too, is, you know, it's not that you guys can solve every problem, but you can point people in the right direction on how to get those problems solved, correct?
Oh,
Robin?
Without a doubt, this is a joint process. As it is with any patient, yes, you hope you have some answers, but you can't throw an antibiotic at everything.
Right.
So this is about a partnership, that covenant relationship with a patient of, okay, how do we discover for each individual in the heart of their family chaos, their job, their life, their kids, their, you know, what's going to work for you? Because everyone has a different road, a different path. And by the way, that all affects your actual physiology.
Absolutely.
The medical stuff that we're trained in. But it's with the eyes open to how does all of that enter in that we discover, all right, what is the, quote, medical answer for you?
So even though people may have their own physician, they can still consult with you.
Absolutely.
Is that correct, Dr.
Absolutely.
Don? They can do that. So they can, you know, even if they're feeling like that maybe, you know, their doctor doesn't have any, you know, religious or feeling like that, or he doesn't feel comfortable doing that, they can call you guys and ask you you know, because I think in a lot of ways, including, you know, if you have a, if you're having a priest call you, you know, what are the ethics? What are the boundaries in a lot of these areas? And you guys have studied this.
We're hoping to help the priests so that, once again, everyone can help better do their job.
Absolutely.
We're absolutely hoping we don't want to add work to anyone or, by the way, take work from other pediatricians or other adult physicians. This is about our privilege to how do we help using the gifts and graces and the knowledge that we've been given, didn't ask for,
absolutely.
Certainly don't deserve. But how do I offer this back?
Absolutely. Yeah, and okay, so if you're just joining us, we're speaking with, this is the Epiphany Radio program on Holy Family Radio here in the Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, southwestern Michigan area. And we're speaking today with Dr. Robin Perucci and Dr. Don Bouchard, who are physicians who are in here in southwestern Michigan. And we're talking about healthcare, kind of a very broad subject that we're talking about here. And we ask you if you'd like to go to holyfamilyhealthcare.org. That's not part of the radio station, though, but it's Holy Family Radio. HolyFamilyRadio.org .net is the radio station. HolyFamilyHealthcare.org is their website, and you can go there and visit that. You can call them, send them an email. Usually they can get back to you in 24 to 48 hours. If you have any questions in regards to healthcare, in regards to the church and healthcare, they're a great resource. So what is the ultimate goal? I'll start with you, Dr. Don. What is your ultimate goal in this Holy Family healthcare?
I think ultimately it's a matter of giving people healthcare alternatives that promote a culture of life.
Amen.
All right. So we have over 2,000 years of over 2,000 years of wisdom, of knowledge, of human nature. I would like for this to be a healthcare ministry that doesn't simply identify needs, but we're able to anticipate the needs of people at various stages in their life. Currently, for instance, a lot of the discussions about advanced directives or end-of-life care happens far too late. If it is brought up at the patient's bedside when they're dying, that's way too late. These are discussions that have to be brought up well in advance of that as just a normal part of life.
And what would you say is a good age to do that, when someone's maybe in their 60s or before they've retired or in their 70s or 50s? I don't know.
I think to have the discussion as early as possible.
I'm thinking
30s or 40s to start the conversation.
Very good. Okay.
At that point, they have a family. They have, you know, likely have children.
And how would that, not to dig too deep, we can dig deeply into it. How would that discussion go? Would you say to the person, what type of, means, how deep do you want us to go in this? Dr. Robin Perucci, she's kind of going, yeah, it's a big question. I realize that. So take it apart in little chunks if you want, or you may be able to answer the whole thing all at once.
Well, I don't think it's a conversation initially that happens with that abruptness. It truly is.
Parents don't want to have this necessarily in front of their kids either. You don't want to scare your kids either. But
as part of an ongoing, again, covenant relationship, and a getting to know the person and the family, and over years of these discussions.
You bet.
So I guess what you described is almost how it happens now. And it's like, well, what would you like?
Yeah.
And there has to be a lot of prep work. There has to be a lot of of a lot of conversations, a lot of trust, a lot of
you need to have your attorney involved in this too, right? I mean,
yes and no. This whole conversation about death, I kind of flip this on its head in my mind. I would back it up to say, how do you want to live?
Right.
So
quality of life, the quality of life that you're going to have, if we go, we're going to run you all over the country.
Let's talk about what's important about living And the other thing that is very important, and it gets missed in secular healthcare, is there's no such thing as a life that is without value. You don't gain or subtract value in your life depending on what stage of life you're in. The church is the only place on the planet that says unequivocally the dignity of life is inherent in every single human being from the moment of conception until death. So you don't get to vote on that.
Right.
Now, the treatment, the medical treatment is what we're talking about as being burdensome or not so much. And once now it puts it in a framework where you can start to have a conversation about not is my life expendable and I should be off by my kids because I'm worthless. No.
Right.
Now it's about is a particular treatment, is the risk benefit, is its burdensomeness. And by the way, you don't have to bankrupt yourself and your family for the next four generations to take, you know, this chemotherapy that may or may not even work.
Right.
What you're obligated to do is treatment that has a high chance of success and that makes sense for your place in life. So now you can break down with every stage of your life, is this treatment, is whether it's a vaccine for your children or a chemotherapy later on, is this an appropriate thing to do for you?
Right.
And now it's a conversation about how do you live and not this horrible demon standing over you.
Right.
Should I continue on the ventilator? Should I? Now, wait a minute. If the ventilator can get you to successful recovery, this is reasonable.
Yeah.
If the chances of you coming off that ventilator, by the way, the vent is not God, so let us not pray to the machinery.
Right.
Let's look and see now, wait a minute, is it reasonable that you're going to come off intact and be able to resume life, or is there going to be a different quality of life? And that, once again, we don't get rid of people because they're burdensome. We talk about the treatment. How do I care for you?
Absolutely.
What do we do? So it becomes not something that is so easily written down on a sheet of paper. One of the things I would counsel people is you need someone to speak for you. Who can speak to you when you're ill?
Right.
To be able to help make decisions that are cognizant of your entire family situation. In America, we tend to pray to the God of autonomy, which just makes me crazy. We don't make decisions for ourselves or our loved ones in a vacuum. It's not just about me. It is about my kids. It is about my husband. Okay, how is this going to affect all of us?
Right.
So.
And what do they want?
Right.
What would they want? You know, I mean, we can make, you know, selfish requests and say, well, you know, I don't want to be in a wheelchair. But your husband or wife may say, what's wrong with that? You know,
exactly.
I can deal with that. You know, let's talk about this
right.
And really and
well,
think
and
this all the way through.
We need to continue to value people who, whether they're elderly or very young, this worshiping of at 22, you're the best you ever are, and that's where we should, you know, worship the ground you walk on. Not so much.
Right.
The value of our grandparents in that wisdom.
Yes.
No, they probably can't push the lawnmower as easily. But my goodness, the thought of my children missing sitting at their lap and them reading them a story.
Right.
Should never be underestimated. How do we continue to value each other
yeah.
at every stage of existence? And then find value in ourselves as I realize, gee, I can't work or live the same way that I did many years ago. That's a hard transition and one that our society doesn't help us with so much.
Right, and I think we take a lot away from ourselves as being human,
mm-hmm.
too, and from our children, too. Now, my dad, you know, by the grace of God, we did the things that we did and continue to do in our family. But my dad spent the last 4 years of his life with us. And thanks be to God, we were able to do that. But the greatest gift was given to my children who watched it.
You bet.
And they, you know, and a lot of people say, well, gee whiz, you know, they watched their grandfather die. Yeah. But if you ask them today, what was it like to have Grandpa at home? They'll say, Dad, it was the greatest thing ever.
And again, I think that takes a very St. John Paul II approach into making it a yes. You can certainly look and say to the kids, oh, you watched your grandfather die, but they had the opportunity to watch their grandfather live.
Live. It goes back to the living thing.
That's exactly right.
And the privilege of being a group and living with each other. Yes, you had to care for him, and there were probably days that were a little embarrassing for him as well as for you, but the humanness of this, of touching each other and nourishing and caring for each other in a very tangible way, is something that no machinery, no document, none of that can possibly replace or be legislated away without somehow demeaning us.
Yeah.
So what a huge gift you gave your family by bringing your father in.
Well, and I think really it was really God-given, really, you know, and my wife's an RN, so that helped a lot, you know, her having this a mind in the medical field and things like that too. But it was really, you know, John Paul showed us the example too of, you know, this going through the process of end of life. Try to keep it on the living side,
right.
You know, an end-of-life experience where, and really to look at it that way, too, to say, you know, I'm going to have this amount of time. It's, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And we didn't know with our dad either. But, you know, quite frankly, near the end there, I was praying for my dad, for the Lord to take him. And about 3 or 4 weeks after that point of intense prayer, of talking to God, the Lord took him home, and it was a beautiful thing, you know. And I wouldn't have wanted to change anything about that. So we have this, you know. I think genuinely we have in our culture, and just as ourselves as human beings, this great fear of not being able to accomplish the task.
Right.
And yes, without God, things are very difficult. But with God, with prayer, with you know, accessing the proper people like you guys and talking to them, we can do these things.
You know, St. Paul talks about the thorn, which he keeps praying for God to remove.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
many times we don't get to write our own scripts, which
right.
is probably a good thing because we would never have written in any of the trials or difficulties that
right.
befall us. And yet, how many times afterward do we go, oh, thank you, Lord, that is what I needed exactly to do. How many times has that encounter allowed you to meet or deal with things that you never would have intentionally or gotten to? So it is by accepting all of what our Lord puts in our path.
Amen.
That is the privilege of this whole journey.
Amen.
And so finding ways to go through the journey, knowing our weakness, knowing that we're all going to stumble, knowing that our Lord is going to permit us to stumble, but sometimes stumble right into who we need to meet.
Absolutely.
That whole process, that's what we call life. That's the joy and, you know, the agony of what we get to live.
You bet.
But mostly it's a joy. You sometimes have to fight to find that. But we also know that it is an all-merciful and loving Lord who just can't wait for us. When we are at that point, we have stumbled and right to our knees going, okay, Lord, I have no idea how else I'm going to stand up.
Amen.
Help.
You bet.
That we hope we are able to offer a little help.
So you guys can help in regards to that too, you know, and for everybody, and I don't mean to, you know, put a guilt trip on anybody either because
oh, no.
sometimes people can't handle this. I mean, sometimes people
right.
do need to go into a professional facility and be cared for. It wasn't, you know, fortunately for us, we didn't have to do that. But, you know, for some people that has to happen. And
absolutely.
You guys can help. You guys can help with that too, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Help guide people into doing that. So we kind of have that, the elderly side, and there's a lot of work to be done in there. Any other areas that you guys want to talk about or focus on, whether it be, you know, with babies or whether it be, you know, our middle years?
Well, one of the things, I've just been invited actually down to Nashville, giving a presentation on perinatal palliative care.
Okay. And in regular human terms, that is what?
Okay, what that translates to is When you have a diagnosis during a pregnancy that is other than congratulations, it's a baby.
Right.
That would be the diagnosis number one is, we might have something else going on here. And it might be life-limiting. Certainly might be life-threatening or life-altering. How do we live with this? And it used to be that really the options given were, one, terminate, B, well, do absolutely full court press, try to get through the pregnancy and live with whatever you're offered. And what...
So this has to do with a complicated pregnancy?
Correct.
Where either the baby or the mother is sick?
Particularly with the baby.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with something that, this is going to be a problem.
Okay.
How do you get through the pregnancy? You don't have to terminate, because we know, sadly, from the abortion literature, that if you are the cause of your baby's death, you helped say yes, you technically participated in this, you grieve differently. And it leaves a wound that is very different than continuing with the pregnancy, even if the baby may or may not live.
Okay.
Even if the baby may have problems that are life-limiting.
Okay.
Or devastating. Once again, we're not in charge. We're not the script writer.
Right.
How do we help each other live with what we would not have ever possibly have dreamed up as the appropriate path? Killing the baby doesn't go well. So now, how do we live with that? We have people, and not necessarily just with us, but at Secular Hospital, to walk with you through the pregnancy. We have a chance to talk about how much do you want done when the baby's born, depending on what the diagnosis is, depending on how sure we are of the diagnosis, depending on what the diagnosis means to a particular family.
Right.
We then get to talk about what's the appropriate plan, as much as we can plan, for what to do next.
You bet. That's really tough stuff.
Oh.
One of the beautiful things to this is that you get to allow parents to be parents.
Yes.
And unlike choosing to terminate a pregnancy for a genetic alteration that may be incompatible with life, you get to work with, again, walk beside the parents and help them plan, you know, what goals do you want for your baby? Even if your baby's going to live for 20 minutes. And we've had parents who their goal was that I never want this child to know a time where he wasn't loved,
that
he wasn't held.
Yes.
And they get to set those goals, and they get to be parents, even if it's for the briefest period of time. But as Robin said, the healing from that is so much different than the attempted healing from a decision to terminate a pregnancy.
Right.
And this is important for parents, for anyone to know, because, once again, our medical culture doesn't always subscribe to this. And it just breaks my heart, because I've had many people say to me, we were told you have to make a decision and you need to make it quickly, and, you know, and basically wanted to admit them right from where they had the ultrasound upstairs to get a job done, like it's a mechanic doing this. And the message is, there's time to pick up the phone. There is time to call, whether us directly or your priest, the parishes can always get hold of us very quickly. There's time to talk about what is the right thing to be done for you, to even discern what does that mean.
Do you have any idea why they just jump at it, Dr. Don Bouchard? Can you tell us why do you think they just jump at it? That this needs to be taken care of right now.
Well, I think we have a long history of ever since the.
I mean, I know you're probably trying to think of a gentle way of saying this.
Well,
but
basically, there's a law of this is the culture in our country. This is what's legally
true. It is part
true.
Of the culture, right?
Well, and
absolutely.
They can only legally do abortions to a certain point.
I see. Okay.
That's more easy to accomplish. After a certain point in the pregnancy, it's actually from the Roe v. Wade laws that came up with the trimesters. We didn't come up with that. there's nothing in embryology that says there's a first, second, and third trimester. That's from,
interesting.
That's from the law that that whole thing evolved and decided when a baby should have more or less legal standing. Interestingly, it wasn't until many, many years after Roe v. Wade, I think it was in 1992, with a different court case, that they said, well, maybe, because we'd already been saving babies, by the way, much younger than the law said, let's talk about viability or pre-viability. You know, at what point can we keep a child alive? And then the court said, well, hands off, we're just going to defer that to the doctors. Well, and frequently the doctors don't know, can we save a baby, can we not? There's all kinds of – it's a much bigger discussion about gestational age and the weight of the baby and all the other factors that go into the health.
That's really fascinating.
So to answer your question, there is a certain impetus that once you have a diagnosis of a terminal diagnosis – of something we can't medically fix, then if you don't do something about it relatively rapidly, there's a window of opportunity when that goes away or becomes more difficult. Whether you agree with that or not is a whole different discussion.
Right.
But that's what they're up against, and why there's often a lot of pressure on – I mean, you're still reeling from you just got this diagnosis, and now you have to make a decision – then it's very, very, very difficult to put the brakes on, especially you're so disempowered. You don't know what the diagnosis means. How sure are they? Wow. So you're being called to make all these decisions in a place of crisis.
Right.
And that is a terrible place.
I agree.
To make any sort of decision.
Well, and I agree. What I was going to mention was that if you look at – I was going to go back even further back than what Dr. Perucci just did. If you look at healthcare. From its very earliest inception, it was very spiritual. It was very much included the entire person. Mm-hmm. From the Age of Enlightenment, you start seeing that anything that you couldn't prove scientifically was hocus pocus.
Okay.
And so we've really come to this huge divide, which is, I think, a lot of where we find ourselves with physicians or healthcare professionals jumping to that as an answer. Because that's where they are in the education and the training, because the spirituality, the dignity of every human life has been so separated from a lot of healthcare that I think it's years and years, decades of this training, of this education, of this mindset.
Yes. Well, I think in a big part of it is, you know, Catholic theology is always faith and reason, okay? Using those, you know, we're called to use our minds, we're called to discern, and we're also called to think about God while we're in this discernment process. But in Protestant theology and Bible church theology and in some other religions too, including the Muslim religion, it's God and that's it. We're not going to reason about it. We're not going to talk about it. And I think that's what this divide that you're talking about, Dr. Bouchard, is and Dr. Perucci, this divide happens when we say God can't be included because we get too extreme about God and we get too extreme about reason.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, neither side is talking.
Well, and it's part of, you know, we hear all this, you read in the news that – the Catholic Church is stifling research.
Right.
No.
Absolutely the opposite.
We've got to re-wed the two. If we have one without the other, we have a nightmare. You've opened Pandora's box. As opposed to having the courage to actually have some ethics knit into the fabric of what we're discovering, now you have something magnificent that actually makes it better.
Right.
Whether you're talking about stem cell research or any other new idea, having it actually have – keeping in mind the dignity of the human being, it doesn't stifle anything. It makes it be better before you apply it to a human being.
Amen. In case you're just joining us, we're meeting with Dr. Robin Bouchard and Dr. – did I do that right? Perucci. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No
Dr.
problem.
Robin Perucci and Dr. Don Bouchard. See, I had your names just mixed up right there. So that's why I wanted to do Dr. Rob and Dr. Don, but I apologize for that.
It's all good.
So you're listening to Holy Family Radio. My name is Deacon Louis. I'm with this Epiphany Radio program and local radio here on holyfamilyradio.net. We're talking about medical issues. We're talking about faith and reason. And so anything else we've got about? We got about 10 more minutes to go or so. Anything in particular you want to touch on? We've touched on some good stuff, both for the elderly as well as for in the pediatric area.
Yeah, I would like to just touch a little bit more about our ministry, about Holy Family Healthcare.
You bet.
This was really the idea of a group of Catholic physicians that had gotten together that were kind of disgruntled with the way that things were going in healthcare. So we applied on September 14th of 2012 for our not-for-profit status for our healthcare ministry. It took almost 2 years, but thank God this year, this summer, we were given our not-for-profit status. We do charge for service.
You bet.
We do give service away. That's one of that is at our discretion as individual providers.
Absolutely.
10% of anything that we collect as revenue does go back to the Diocese of Kalamazoo.
Okay.
Whether to the parish or to the diocese.
Okay.
So we do believe in supporting the diocese and their ministries, and we're hoping really to work collectively with their ministries for us to enhance them, but also for them to enhance us in our service as well.
You bet.
So I would encourage people, if they have the opportunity, to go to our website, holyfamilyhealthcare.org. All one word, holyfamilyhealthcare.org. We do have a donate button. It is tax deductible at this point.
Okay.
So if people would consider doing that, that's wonderful. A lot of the donations that we get go back into, all of the donations that we get actually go back into the service of the people that we're taking care of. One of the initiatives that we found this year, for instance, in working in some of the migrant camps, is the drastic need for sunglasses, something as simple as sunglasses.
Is that right?
To prevent something called pterygium, which will cause these agricultural workers to potentially go blind.
Wow.
It's caused by ultraviolet radiation or from the sun, ultraviolet light from the sun, as well as working in an agricultural or an environment with a lot of sand. So one of the ways to prevent this is by giving out or handing to them sunglasses.
Absolutely.
That will prevent them from going blind. We saw a 46-year-old man who had already gone blind in his right eye does not have insurance, is not able to afford the surgery. So the best way really at this point is to teach them about prevention.
Preventative health care in that regard. Okay. Dr. Robin.
Boy, just to
in particular.
Link on to, you know, what Don is saying about whether it's dropping off cases of water to be able to bring to the migrant workers, the donate button on the website to, at this point, directly help fund the medical van.
And the medical van is new this year, right?
Yes.
You just started doing that this year.
It is amazing. So as opposed to waiting for people to try to get to us, this, boy, it just allows us to reach anywhere that there's a need that we can get to, whether it's we're going to be teaming up with some other folks, possibly even at Victory Clinic. It's our the methadone clinic in town for how do we help drug-exposed babies.
Okay.
And these moms who have difficulty getting to other appointments.
All right.
So there's all kinds of things. We're joining forces with other people that are trying to do the right thing, and how do we care for each other?
And it's important, I guess, to understand that although we are out serving the less fortunate, looking to serve the least of these, the ultimate goal is to make a well-rounded medical practice based in foundational Catholic teachings and really building the domestic church wherever we find them. We will hopefully have, again, an office relatively soon in Hartford, Michigan.
Very good.
And really working to build that and looking at other places between Battle Creek and Kalamazoo as well.
That's great. Well, I think the mobile idea is a great idea, you know, to be able to go into certain communities and help people or to parishes. Now, will you go to a church, say a church calls you up and says, you know, can you bring your truck over and do checkups?
If we can figure out the scheduling, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is such a privilege.
Absolutely.
To get to go to people as well as have them come to us. And, you know, it is hopefully we'll figure out the balance of doing all of the things. As we talk about it, our biggest hope and yet our biggest fear at the same time is, oh, gosh, what if we offer to do something that's too much for us? Well, then back to our knees and we'll pray that, okay, our Lord's going to help us be able to provide everything that's needed.
And that's a growth thing. I mean, sometimes
yeah,
you're going to
have that problem.
Every organization, from the biggest hospital to little medical centers or big medical centers or little medical offices, all have limitations.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes that's that fear that keeps us from doing what we want to do and building something that we really believe in, is that we're, wow, I can't do this or I can't do that or we can't do this big project. Now, do you ever have volunteers or are you open to medical people who are willing to donate their time?
We'd be ecstatic.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Like I say,
I mean, they don't probably necessarily have to be Catholic. You would probably prefer that they have some type of they're in some type of a faith journey.
Well,
that's
here's
helpful.
The baseline is we have promised to answer by putting Catholic in our name. We have promised to answer to the Church's magisterium.
Absolutely.
So yes, for everyone who wants to come on board and help us, that's great. But here's the rules that we're going to answer to. And they're not mine. They're the Church's. I didn't make these up, so these are not Robin's rules. I promise to play along with the Church to see how we can better care for and live through everything we do.
Now, is there so as far as nurses go or doctors or anybody like that who wants to donate their time, they can do that?
Yes.
Time, talent, and treasure. You bet.
Okay, very good. So we've got about 7 more minutes.
Cool.
So anything else that you'd like to, you know, particular things, besides go to the website, go to holyfamilyhealthcare.org. I almost said .net again.
Yes, no, .org.
holyfamilyhealthcare.org. And there's a donate button on there so you can donate. Now, can they be specific? Can they say they want the money to go to the migrant workers, can they do that?
Yes, they can.
Can they sponsor, do some type of sponsorship like that?
Yes.
So sometimes people like to do that.
Correct.
Sure.
Or they want to say, hey, I want it to go towards the medical vein.
I am not in the spot to limit someone's heart. If
yeah.
That's right.
Awesome.
So whatever they would like.
I guess the only other thing, just in looking at it, and it's kind of where we started, and again, what we have been looking at doing is trying to rediscover the roots of Catholic healthcare, and that is to base it in the community, to base it within the parish, not just the church parish, but the community the parish.
Okay.
We do ascribe to the ethical and religious directives of Catholic healthcare in America, which was promulgated by the bishops and just updated, I think, in 2012, I believe it was.
All right.
And the ERDs, or the ethical and religious directives, place the responsibility for the faith and morals of Catholic healthcare on the shoulders, really, of the local bishop.
Okay.
Everyone hears a lot about the Catholic Health Association, which is different than the Catholic Medical Association. Catholic Medical Association
are
physicians. But the Catholic Health Association, for instance, we became at odds during the Affordable Care Act debate. The Catholic Health Care Association sided with the Obama administration, where the bishops did not. And so what we're really looking at trying to do is to put healthcare, Catholic healthcare, back where it belongs, and as far as issues of faith and morals, and that is on the shoulders of the local bishops.
Absolutely. Good. Well, very
and,
good.
And, you know, one of the things we're building here, we are not intentionally doing this to fly in the face of the law of the land. But what we do want to do is create something.
Unless it's unethical.
Well, okay, that's true.
Yeah.
Then I draw some lines in the sand.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is something that is sustainable. That is, it's a separate entity, regardless of who's voted into office. This is really supposed to be something freestanding that is grounded in common sense, but also common sense about how we make ends meet, as well as the actual health care. that is its own freestanding entity. Yes, we will deal with insurance companies. That would be nice if we can get paid. But also, how do we barter and trade and exist for each other that has nothing to do with who's in office?
Right. And I think that's what it's going to come to. I think a lot of it's going to come to hospitals and doctor's office doing a lot of direct paying. You know, people directly paying
right.
for your services. You know, here I'm going to, you know, pay you $100 a month and you know, then I'll pay, you know, if I need a surgeon, I'll pay, you know, that guy $100 a month or whatever it takes. But I think there's going to be a lot of, I think the free market is going to take care of some of this
right.
anyway.
Well, and one of the things that, you know, I know Don and I feel very strongly about is there is no such thing as a human being that we would intentionally turn away. This is about how do we care. If someone has ideas that are different from us, that I'm not going to prescribe contraceptives, that's fine. If you want to have a discussion about why I'm going to do it this way, I, you know, and how can I help you, say, hey, if that's what you want, then you need to seek care that's different than what we offer here. We're not going to hide. We're not going to pretend. Once again, we're not crossing a line of something that is ethically untenable.
You bet.
And we're happy to show you this is why we think this way. We didn't make this up out of thin air just to annoy you.
You bet.
I can't tell you I'm caring for you well if I don't do this in this particular way.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. It's interesting because a lot of the debate these days is you won't do this or you won't do that as a Catholic physician. But if you investigate and read and research and trace back the foundations of the beliefs, they are all based in love.
Absolutely.
They're all based in
even more so, they're based in truth. And a lot of people just don't look at that. They, you know, there's a reason why the church teaches this stuff. You know, and that's not just to be mean. We're not trying to be mean. We're trying to tell you what the truth is.
But the people that have their hearts open to hear, when you explain that to them, when you get to the reasoning, the rationale, they get it. You're talking
Absolutely.
Directly to their heart.
You bet.
And they get it. It makes sense.
You bet.
Well, and remember, I didn't come to this faith because I knew this to begin with. I had a reason and argue a lot. And then at the bottom of it all, as Don said, it's open. You have to be open to how can you be loved by our Lord in this rule that he came up with, which is not so much a rule of restriction. This is a rule of openness and merciful love
yes.
that's going to care for you better than anything I could possibly have ever come up with. I welcome the arguments.
Yeah. So just a minute or two left. Any final things you want to say in regards to this besides – you know, tell people to go to the website, of course, which is holyfamilyhealthcare.org, and donate, help support this ministry, and you know, help. And in a way, it helps the church, it helps us in our faith, and healthcare is a big deal right now.
It is.
Any final words?
Please pray for us. Dr. Bouchard and I have had such amazing. Positive responses. There are those that don't feel quite that way. Please pray for our strength in being able to do everything that our Lord has set before us. It really remains our privilege, but we're humans, and it's some days it's a little scarier than others.
I understand. Absolutely. Dr. Bouchard, any final words?
Well, I would like to thank you for allowing us to come here
Absolutely.
And share our
We'll
ministry.
Do this again.
And,
we'll do this again.
And talk about what the Lord has rested on our hearts and how we're trying our best to live that out. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Very good. And so if you are a healthcare worker or you're in the healthcare field, you'd like to, you know, include part of your faith in that. You'd like to work with an organization that thinks about their faith, thinks about Christianity and our beautiful Catholic faith, and a return back to when the Catholic Church was so strong in the healthcare field. I invite you to go to holyfamilyhealthcare.org. Dr. Perucci and Dr. Bouchard, thank you very much for being here with us today. And may God bless you. And thank you very much for listening to the Epiphany Radio Program. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, you can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.